Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Everybody say amen. Amen. Recently in my time with the Lord, I've been just thinking about and reading Scripture. And as I read Scripture, I find myself oftentimes probably a lot like you, where God will just speak to me about subject, and all of a sudden something that I've read maybe 150 times and even taught on before many times over the 40 some odd years that we've been preaching the gospel, I find myself just in awe because something will jump off the page and become alive. And like, I've read that before, but I never really saw it that way. And then I see it that way. And tonight's one of those things that I wanted to share with you. One of those incidences where I've been reading the Word of God and I see how important something is. And I think there's a lot of people missing how important it is. You know, when God sees something in our lives, He says it in Scripture. He knows humanity. He knows you. He knows me. He knows our frailties. He knows how forgetful at times we are about the things that He's done in the past for us. And we find ourselves living our life for ourselves based on what we think, what we feel, and, you know, our own calculations on how life ought to work out, instead of really finding out where we're at, what God would have for us, and how to live out life. And so I was reading these verses, and I found them very fascinating because the subject tonight is being something that I think is overlooked in general by the body of Christ. It's prepared for His coming is the title of the message. And how many people that are in churches in America today that are really not prepared for His coming? He's coming. The Bible makes it very clear. We don't know when. We don't know the hour. No, we don't know the date. We don't know anything. Anybody comes along and says they know the hour, they know the date, they know what's going on. Let me tell you something. I would just run from that kind of person. Bible makes it very clear that no one knows the time, but it makes it very clear that we should be prepared. One of the neat things about the Rock Church that I loved over 40 years of ministry is I never preached pre-rapture. I never preached mid-rapture. I never preached post-rapture. I always preached ready rapture. I couldn't figure out the Scripture, so I didn't want to go along with everybody else. You know, I could figure it out that there's a lot of solid information about pre-rapture. That means before we're snatched out of here, there's a lot of Scripture that gives us insight that that might very possibly happen. So I said, instead of just accepting that, I'll go study mid-rapture and see what their Scriptures were. And their Scriptures were just as powerful, just as solid as the pre-rapture Scriptures. And I went, oh my goodness, there's grounds for believing that. And then I found out that post-rapture means after all the tribulation periods of life, there was even Scriptures there that pointed to that. Now I want you to know, I'm like you, I want pre-rapture. Get out of here before there's any problems. Hello, is anybody in agreement with me? And you know, but we all want that. But I want to preach, and always have been, and I hope the church continues to do that, is preach ready rapture. And in other words, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be looking, watching, making sure that we're right with God at any time and every time, because you'll never know the moment that He starts to come back. You'll never know when it is, that hour that He comes. And the Bible makes it very clear. Now listen to this, that for those of you that are in here, you got to hear this, makes it very clear numerous times that will come in a time when you'd least expect it, when you're not thinking about it or you're not prepared for it. Have you ever thought about what you would be doing with your life if you knew assuredly that Jesus was coming in the next 35 days? Well, you would not miss church. You guys would dress up and go to girls' ministries. I mean, whatever it takes, you would be there all the time in church. If there wasn't a main church service going on, you'd be with the youth. You'd be somewhere hanging around church all the time because you knew Jesus was coming. And what happens is we get so deceived because we don't see Him coming, we don't know when, that we just continue living lives that are not prepared for His coming. And when you live a life, listen to this, and it's very, very important that you hear this. When you live a life that's not prepared for his coming, most likely you won't make it. And that's what scripture tells us. You won't make it. You may be a well-meaning person. You may even call yourself a Christian. You may go to church every now and then and even pray every now and then. But if you're not prepared when he comes back, I want you to know something. It isn't going to help you one bit. And I want to tonight help you to be prepared. The things that are simple for you and I to do so that when Jesus comes and that eastern sky splits, my goodness, we can get ready and be with him. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. So you might want to make some notes tonight. It's not so difficult, but you don't want to be one of those people that are not prepared, because I tell you this, it is very clear by the words of Jesus, if you're not prepared, you ain't going. And so all of us need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. His disciples come to him, might as well turn there in Matthew the 24th chapter. And Matthew the 24th chapter, his disciples come to him and they're really curious about the end times. They start asking Jesus about, you know, what's gonna happen? How's this gonna work? When's it gonna work? How's it take place? What should we do? And Jesus starts to explain to them, and it's so fascinating, with a ton of verses. In fact, I could stay here for the next two hours and just read verses in the New Testament about the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I have to pick out certain verses to make our point tonight, that I need you and I both to be prepared for when that hour comes that he does come. And when that time comes, I want to be ready to go. I want to hear those words, don't you? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear, and so do you. So we need to make sure that we're prepared. As Jesus is confronted with his disciples, I found it fascinating that the first words that Jesus speaks are the most interesting words. He doesn't tell them, well, you're asking me about the end days, and you know, here's how it's gonna look, and here's how it'll be, here's what it's gonna take place. And he does all of that in chapter 23 and 24, and part of 25. You'll see that he does that, but yet he makes a statement first. The statement that he makes first is the very statement that's on his heart for all of us tonight. In fact, in Matthew 24, and if you will, in verse number 4, I want you just to read this with me, and I want you to look at this. This is the first statement Jesus makes about the end times. Wasn't about the end times, it was about us. Listen to what he says, if you will, in Matthew 24, verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. There's people out there and the world out there and the people that live by the flesh and lie the world that will try to get you off track, try to get you away from the things of God, try to get you to water down your commitment to God, try to water it all down in such a way that you never do follow through, you never do anything. You made a statement once, I'm accepting Christ, but you never do anything about it. You find yourself, the very first, you know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this had to be what was abundant in his heart. Wasn't just the answer about end times, but he was concerned about the people. And constantly, I want you to hear me, I want you to hear this. Constantly, listen to this one more time, constantly, Jesus is warning his disciples, and it's written in scripture, preserved for thousands of years, so that you and I could get into this and see it for ourselves, warning them about how they could be deceived so easy in these days. You know, sometimes when things you know are going to happen that don't happen, you find yourself becoming complacent. Has anybody ever believed something was going to happen? It didn't happen. After a while, you started to believe, well, it's probably never going to happen. And you got frustrated about it. And for some people who say, wow, Jesus is coming, and it doesn't come next year, this year, doesn't come next year, doesn't come 10 years, 15 years. I remember being with 10,000 people in 1973 or 4 in Anaheim Convention Center when a great man of God made a statement. He said these words, I can't imagine Jesus not coming within the next year. I don't know the day, he says, and I don't know the time, but I can't imagine probably one more year. You know, and I don't have any faults with that. It didn't happen. Jesus didn't come. But let me share something with you. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, your last days. You are not coming back as a frog. You are not getting a second chance. This is it for you. Are you following me? And so it is all of our last days. My last days are shorter than most of you that are in here, but it's my last days too. And so I need to be prepared, not only because it's my last days, but I need to be prepared even if I'm a young person that Jesus is coming, because when he comes, I don't want to miss it. Are you hearing me? And that's what church is all about, is to share with you things that are principles of the Word of God and the heartbeat of God so that you don't miss him and you follow through. So Jesus is confronted. He starts to explain things. And if I may, I'll take you to Matthew 24 and verse number 43. So you were in just verse 4. Let's just jump ahead to verse number 43. Matthew 24, verse number 43. And he says these words, in fact, let's go to verse 42. Back up verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Could everybody just say watch? Watch. No, let me try it one more time. I don't mean just some of you. Could everybody, I'm trying to point out a word to you that you need to listen to just for a moment. Everybody say the word watch.
Watch.
One more time. Watch. Okay. He says, watch. He says, therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. Man, I do not know. After all of these years, from the 70s all the way to this day, I have not seen him come. Doesn't mean he's not coming. Is that the truth? Yes, it is. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just not happening when I thought it was going to happen, or when that great man of God thought it was going to happen. So he says this, watch therefore. And here's a good question for you. What the heck do you watch? I mean, if he tells you to do something, you ought to know how to do it. And that we're going to cover a little bit tonight. I think you'll find it fascinating. One more time, everybody say the word watch. In verse number 43, he makes this statement in verse number 43. But know this. You know, when God makes a statement and says, but know this, you ought to know something. You know what I mean? When he says, look, pay attention, you ought to know this. I mean, he's not just burped because he ate a pizza here. He's really making a statement. Hey, this is something you got to know. So he says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, listen to that word, and not allowed his house to be broken into. What he just said was an illustration that says, you don't know when he's coming. But he's giving you an illustration that if somebody knew he was getting robbed, he would be watching for, being watchful of everything that's going on. You would watch for the time, you'd watch for the day, you'd watch for the hour. You knew when it was going to happen because of the circumstances of the world around us. So he makes a statement that you can't be lazy, you can't be slumbering, you can't be sleeping, you can't be out of it. You can't be saying, well, you know, I'll hang out with Jesus on Sunday, but hang out in the world and do my own thing on Monday, because he may come back on Monday. You know? I mean, we're ready for him to come when we're in church because we're all saying, we're cool. And when he runs into me, he's going to say, where have you been? I was in church when you snatched me out of the place. Well, that's a good thing. But it's a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday. That's when we have trouble. That's when we have problems. And he says, if the master of the house knew, man, he wouldn't let the thief come in. He'd be watching for that thief to come in. And Jesus is described oftentimes, he will come in the dead of the night when you least expect it, like a thief in the night. Not that Jesus is a thief, but using that as an illustration. Because if you knew a thief was coming to your house, what would you do? You wouldn't let it happen. You would stay up and wait. You would not let him in. You would run him off. But if you're, in other words, he says, hey, wake up. If you're not awake to this, you're going to be asleep to it. And it's going to be past you before you even know it. And that's what the verse comes along and says to him. Verse number 44 says it like this. Therefore, don't you love verse 44? Because the word therefore means, remember what I taught you for 40 years? What's the word therefore for? Because of what he just said. Because of what he just said about the thief, if he knew he was coming, it was up, be watchful is what he's trying to say. Therefore, you also be ready. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Prepared, ready for the Son of Man to come at an hour, a time, a day, a month, a year, for me, when you don't even expect it. And may I say this to you, saints of God, listen to me now. I don't expect him to come right now. I'll probably go home tonight and lay down in bed and go to sleep. I'm not expecting him to come. I'm not expecting him to come. He's going to come when you least expect it, according to the scripture. You're not going to know when to do it. So what if you don't know what to do? You got to be like the guy that's guarding his house. Here, what's your house? Your heart. And guess what? You got to guard your heart so that you're ready when he does come. And if you don't guard your heart when he's ready, when he comes, according to what Jesus is about to say, you're going to miss him. And you're going to say, wow, now that is just stinks. I thought that if I just prayed that prayer, I didn't have to do anything else. But Jesus goes on and says, he that endures to the end. And remember what he said the first warning was to the people? Don't let man come in and deceive you. They'll come in and try to talk you out of it. They'll come in and try to say stuff that's contrary to the word of God. They'll come in and try to establish you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. They'll tell you, why do you do all that? There's no importance. Why don't you give it up or just hang out? I remember one person said to me sometime, listen, why don't you just, you know, Jesus and that church stuff that you do, that's a Sunday thing. In fact, I hate to tell you, it was an ex-wife. She said, I'll stay with you, and I'll tell you the truth. This is a true story. When I was a young man in my 20s, she said, I'll stay with you if you give up this Jesus all the time stuff and go out and, you know, in those days it was called disco. And go out and disco with me once in a while and have fun. You guys don't even know what disco is, I don't think, you know. You call this dancing. I call it a fit. And my thing was, she said, if you just give that up, we'll go to church on Sunday. I said, no, I'm never giving it up. Every day of my life, it's gonna get deeper. And it cost me something. She got up, she left, she divorced me and took my child. But guess what, 21 years later, my child came back and has now served God for the last 20 years. You can't lose with God. But you gotta be ready that the whole world's gonna be out there trying to deceive you, try to talk you out, put pressure on you so you not some, in their minds, radical, fanatical. But I want you to know something, there's nothing that isn't radical and fanatical when it comes to a relationship with God. I can be in this church world, but I'm not of it. I'm waiting for a new kingdom to come. Come on, somebody. So here we find that Jesus starts to explain to his disciples. And the rest of chapter number 24, boy, he tells them, look out for the storms, look out for the earthquakes, look out for the people. He describes that there's be those that hearts are gonna grow cold and love of the flesh will be more than the love of God in man. I mean, you can watch these things happening before our very eyes in our society, social system today, which I found fascinating. But he starts out chapter number 25. Remember, he's going on and on. Every one of those verses between what we just got through reading and chapter 25 are verses about the end days. So you ought to read them. You ought to make it a point this week to study them and think about them. You know, when there's signs, if you see the signs, you'll know the times are coming clear. And one of those things happens is that you start to get serious about your relationship with God. And when you start to get serious about your relationship with God, now you're up watching to make sure you don't miss if he comes in an unexpected hour in your life. And you find yourself in that place. And in chapter 25, verse number 1, he starts to read something, and it goes like this. It's a parable. It does. May I just say this? The chapter 25 was put in by the translators. The verses don't stop. The verse on the end of verse 20, chapter 24, is that the end days, those that thought they were going to make it didn't make it. And they're literally, he calls them the mashing or gashing of their teeth together. And they find themselves gritting. They're so miserable because they thought they were going to make it, but they were not prepared. So here he finishes chapter 24. He starts in chapter 25. Same thought, same thing going through. The only difference is now explaining it to all of us, and it becomes a parable. And it's the parable, if you will, of the 10 virgins. So let's take a look at it. Chapter 25, verse number 1. He says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Let's talk for just a moment. Who's he talking about? Well, who's the bridegroom, first of all? Everybody know who that is? His name is what? Jesus. Okay. And who's the virgin? You say, what do you mean 10 virgins? Virgins, us. Why 10 virgins? Why virgins? Because all of your sins and all of your failure is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been washed clean and you're presented to God as spotless before the Lord. Oh my goodness. So I'm being expressed here. This is the church. And he says out of the 10, if you will, virgins that had their lamps with them. What's the lamp represent? A lamp that shines represents the Holy Spirit, represents the Word of God, represents their life's expressions in a darkened world. But nevertheless has their lamps that went out to meet the bridegroom, verse number 2. And it says this, now 5 of them were wise and 5 were just stupid as a sack of rocks. Does your Bible say that? No, but it might as well have said that because that's what it really meant. I mean, they're just really stupid. And I don't know if this is something that's significant to you, but let's just talk just for a moment. 50% of them were wise. Out of 100%, 50% were wise. And out of 100%, 50% were stupid. I don't know what part you want to be in, but trust me, you have a choice. And tonight I'll show you how to get into the wise part of living the Christian life. Are you following me? Instead of the one who calls himself a Christian and lives stupid the rest of his life. And finds himself that the 5 were foolish. And then he comes along verse number 3 and he makes this, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So all of a sudden, here they are, they live their life, they've got a lamp, but there's no light in it. There's no oil in it, there's no Holy Spirit in it. Our churches in America literally today are filled with people. I don't know how many, but I'm here to tell you, I know this for a fact. They're filled with people that run through a routine, run through a ritual, but have no relationship with the living God. May I say this to you? And also carry nothing of the Word of God, the light of God, the Holy Spirit, or anything. They just live their lives out with nothing in it. They live nothing lives and they have no oil in their lamp. And he says, those are the ones that are really stupid. But then he comes along and talks about the wise ones. And the wise ones, he makes a statement. He says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Man, all of a sudden now they're carrying all they need to meet with the bridegroom. And they finally realize this, verse number, I don't know if I have verse 5 or not up there, but to put it up, and while the bridegrooms were delayed, while the bridegroom was delayed, by 1972, 73, we thought for sure he was coming. While the bride, listen, a year, a day is a thousand years to the Lord. So it's been like, since, if that's true, then it's only been 2 days and a half since he left this planet. That's an interesting thought. And we're so wanting it now, give it some time. But if the bridegroom was delayed, he says, and while the bridegroom's delayed, don't you know that in the delay of the bridegroom, all kinds of things are happening to try to get you off track? Every demon in hell, as well as secular human being, will try to get you away from the things of God. Amen. Try to make statements. Well, if you'll just compromise, what you compromise to keep, you will never keep, you will lose. And boy, I'm telling you, he comes along, delay, they all slumbered and sleep. Now someone says, well, they shouldn't have been slumbering and sleeping. Everybody slumbers and sleeps. I mean, my goodness, when I get home tonight, I'm gonna sit down on the couch, and I'm gonna fall asleep, and I'm gonna snore, and the dog's gonna go and run, and Debbie's gonna yell at me, go to bed, I can't hear the television. And I, just the way it is, you know, everybody slumbers and sleeps. It's not slumbering and sleep that's bad. It's not having the oil in your lamp that's bad. It's not having the things of God to meet God with. Is anybody listening? Then he comes along. I don't know if you'll have any more verses that I put up there. Oh, another verse. He says, and at midnight, a cry comes and heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Verse number 7. I don't know if I have that up there or not. But verse number 7. And they, all the virgins arose and they trim their lamps. And the 10 that trim their lamps, can I just say something? 5 of them realized they had no light in their lamps. And they come to the 5 that have it, and they made a statement. And the statement was, give us some of your oil. And they said, no way. We want to have enough for our master when he comes. And guys, the whole point of this is that all through the scriptures, God makes it very clear that you and I could be people who are not prepared unless we really chase ourselves, really check ourselves out and examine ourselves to be prepared for his coming. He doesn't speak that many verses in warning so that we would just ignore it. So I want to take you, if I can tonight, to a little thought, if I may, found in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse number 10. So open your Bible, 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse number 10. If you're making notes, write it down. It's so important for you to see. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Remember how we said we don't know when he's coming? Nobody knows the hour. It could come at any hour when you're least expecting him. He says, the day of the Lord, Jesus is coming, man, when you least expect it. He said, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Man, that's real global warming. Someone says, you Christians don't believe in global warming. Oh yeah, we do. There it is. It's gonna melt everything on the earth and the works, and that in it will be burned up. Verse number 11. Therefore, since these things will be dissolved. See the word dissolved? It means come to pass. Circle it in your Bible. Write the words come to pass. Since these things are going to come to pass, he says, what manner of persons ought you to be? And then he gives us 3 things that we need to make sure we're doing in order to be right with God. So simple. 3 things that we need to do in order to be prepared for God. Holiness, godliness, and watchfulness, because verse number 12 starts off with, look for the hastening, watch and see. Three things, let's talk about them tonight. Very important things. In order for me to be prepared when Jesus is coming, I need to make sure and check myself out on a constant basis in three areas. The first was holiness. What the heck does that mean? That means I belong exclusively to God. Holiness, exclusive commitment to God. To Him and Him only. It's a heart thing. When I'm exclusively God's, I'm not the world's, I'm not my friends, I'm exclusively God. That's holiness. I have now been separated from the functions of this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I live according to the ways of God, according to His will, according to His want, His heartbeat. And here God makes it very clear. And this word holiness is exclusive commitment. It's like a husband that makes a commitment to his wife at marriage and says, "You're the only woman I will ever be with, and I love you, and I'm sincerely making a commitment before you and God. This is my statement of faith. I'm exclusively your husband." And that's great as long as he stays that way. If he doesn't stay that way, then he becomes what is called an adulterer, a liar and failure in life. And here, it's the same thing. We make an exclusive commitment to God, but without the action behind the commitment, it's just words. And this is where godliness comes in, that you live a life that is godly. And godliness is action towards your exclusive commitment. The proof of your commitment by what you do. And it's also proved by the consistency of how you do it. So many people do something for a while, the husband or the wife is faithful for a while, then they're no longer faithful. That's not faithful at all. Faithful means consistently staying with it. And when you made a statement of holiness, I am committing to God that He is all my God and I'm all His. I belong to Him. It's His will, His way. It's His want. It's everything that He wants. You made a commitment to this holiness, then you're going to have to back it with godliness. And godliness with consistency proves who you are. And that's why He says to His disciples, man, don't let anybody deceive you. Because if you're deceived, you're no longer committed and you're no longer sincere and you're no longer a person that has consistency. Wow. So important for us. Three things. Make the commitment, live the life. How simple is that? Is that simple? Third thing was watchfulness. In verse number 12, we said, I don't remember if you remember what it said, but it said, look out for or watchful. Watch for. And I said, watch for what? I'm watching, number one, myself to make sure that I'm right with God. I'm watching the world to see how they're lining up according to the words of Jesus back in Matthew 24, gives me insight to when He's coming. And I'm watching to make sure that my heart stays exclusively His, because it's always trying to pull me away into something else other than God. So fascinating. Watchfulness, looking out for God, and I look out for Him all the time. How many times recently have you gone to bed, let's be honest with each other, and said, man, I'm looking for God tonight? None of us. How many times have you gone through your day and said, God, let it happen. If you need to come today, I'm ready for you. Very seldom. Here's what I hear from most Christians. God, don't come. I'm not ready yet. And I understand that, but that's why you say, well, how do I get ready? Because this is preparation for, if you will. Didn't it say preparing for his coming? That was the title. Well, how do I prepare? How do I live a life of commitment and holiness? How do I live out a life physically in godliness? And how do I remain somebody who's watching out for God and for me and where I'm at and where the world's at so I'm not deceived? Here's how. Ready? Because it'd be silly to tell you all those things, not tell you how to do it. How simple it is. Find a great church that teaches you something about the Bible. Now, wait a minute, listen to what. And get involved. If you're not gonna get involved in a small group or get involved in the services. So many of you used to come 2, 3, 4 times. When you first got saved, you could hardly wait to get to church. And you know what happens? You get complacent. Your commitment starts to wither a little bit. Your godliness starts to be less, and you start to take on more of the characteristics of the world around you. I found that when I'm in church, hearing the word of God, when I'm in church, feeling the presence of God, when I'm in church, praying like we did tonight for our brothers and sisters to be healed, my mind is not on the filth of the world. My mind is not on what the television say. My mind is on Jesus Christ. And I find my commitment, I find my godliness, and I find my watchfulness becoming stronger all the time. And sometimes you just need to get your pants on and say, I'm tired, I should go to bed, I'm exhausted, the freeway was miserable, my boss chewed me out, but I haven't eaten anything tonight, but there's church and I'm going to church because there I know I'll start watching for myself. There's a reason God wants us to gather together, and you're feeling it right now. Because if you didn't come tonight, you wouldn't have heard this. And you may have been the virgin without any oil in your lamp. But now you know about holy commitment to him exclusively. Now you know about learning to live the life that God wants you to live, not the life you want to live. And now you know what to watch out for, to make sure you're going on with God. Come on, somebody. God must have spoken to you tonight. That's the beauty of what we're doing here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center. Man, this whole thing, you'll find, is not zeroed around a man. It's not about people per se. It's about Jesus. It's not about what world thinks. There's no politicians in their pulpits telling you about what they're gonna do for our nation. Could give a flip about what they have to say. We're here talking about what the King of Glory wants to do in the kingdom of God in your part of it. And if you got something from God, give the Lord a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.